welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah, praise God. Before I get going in what God's got for us today, I just want to say, Mr. and Mrs. Abel, they are here. Hallelujah. Than a special thank you for coming in on the first day of your honeymoon to help us and rescue us. Anyway, that's another story. Although I did have two things left, I think, from yesterday. I did have a couple of one-liners, so I'll let you have them now. It says, a good wife always forgives her husband when she's wrong. Well, we had to get some in for the men. And the other one was, my wife says I never listen to her. Or something like that. Hallelujah. Well, this morning is called Wake Up and Smell the Coffee. Hallelujah. So shall we get on with that one? Beg your pardon. Right, here we go then. I'm going to start with a story. A husband and wife, actually, funnily enough, on this weekend. And husband and wife were having an argument. Newly married couple. Of course, this wouldn't refer to Dan in any way or Gemma, because I don't think they won't have coffee in the morning, they drink tea. But anyway, the husband and wife were having an argument about who should make the coffee in the morning. And the wife says that, well, you should definitely do it. And the guy's saying, no, I think you should get up and do it. You're on the right side of the bed, you're nearer the kitchen, so you might as well get up and do the coffee. And she's saying, well, no, you've definitely got to do it because it's in the Bible that the man makes the coffee. And the husband says, oh, come on, I can't believe that. You show me where it's in the Bible and I'll make the coffee for the rest of our marriage. And she says, okay, let's get the Bible. And she opens it up and they open up the Bible, a truth edition, of course. And they're in the New Testament and she says, look, there. And at the top of the page is written Hebrews. Hallelujah. So, the thing is, you see, if we're going to wake up and smell the coffee, that kind of expression is, come on, get with it, get in what's happening. Someone's got to make the coffee. And I tell you what, we're a church that's got to make the coffee. Because we have got a message. Wake up and smell the coffee. See what God's doing. See what's happening. But somebody's got to actually make the coffee so that people can smell it and get excited about it. Okay? Little bit of an allegory there. It's not necessarily one that Jesus used. I'm not quite sure if he was a coffee drinker or not. But this is that time of God stirring us. Yeah, of God, that vision of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, if you're a visitor here, it's summed up in just dare to dream. Not dare to daydream, but dare to dream. Dare to think far bigger than you've ever thought before, because God is revealing that he's far bigger than we've ever thought before. And we're beginning to get the idea it's not dependent on us. You know, and all sorts of things can happen to us in the journey that seem like the opposite of what we're dreaming for, but they're not setbacks, they're opportunities to grow in God so that we can actually take hold of what he's spoken over our lives. Sometimes when it seems to go like, I was going over there, what's happening? It's not that God is taking you away, he's taking you the direct route that he knows. Because if you went the way you thought you were going, there's probably a precipice or something you're going to fall off. So he takes you the direct route that equips you and trains you and gets you ready. And that's what he's doing amongst us. Yeah. The coffee makers, the brewers. Yeah? And we have got a dream. And maybe we've even got a daydream. I think sometimes Christians are frightened of daydreams. But what if God is using them to speak to you? You know, I wonder if Isaiah's visions and Ezekiel's wheels and things, how did they begin? I think they were probably daydreaming, just sitting meditating or thinking, and things began to form in their mind and pictures in their mind, and the Lord began to speak. And these are days really where we need to allow the creativity that is God to be released. So, because religion squashes creativity. Religion is a set of rules that's got to get it. And creativity is a bit scary because people get up to things that haven't been done before or haven't been done in a long time because people come up with original ideas. Because God is a creator God.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah? And God is sending people here to us who are people who are craftsmen. You're craftsmen. That's why God sent you here. You've got talents, you've got giftings, you've got ability, you've got the anointing of the Lord that God is going to use to build something amazing. Okay, let's have a look at a passage in the Old Testament where God did exactly that. Okay, it's in Exodus. Because we can look at what he's done in the past so that we can see what he's going to do now. Alright, this is not just a historical book. This is a book that says, and this is what God is doing now. It's in Exodus 31. It's at the time of Moses. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, chapter 31, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And look at this next bit. With skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Skill and ability and knowledge in crafts is not second place to anointing. All right, it's just as godly. It's just, it's still of God. It's not that when you get born again and you know you're dead to him and alive in Christ. It's not that everything that God ever put in you is a waste of space. He put it in you. Okay, it's just that it's now redeemed and ready to go with the Lord. You know, and God wants to recapture these things because so often they get squashed down. Oh no, I must only do, you know, what God's calling me to do. But maybe that daydream is what God's calling you to do. Well, I've not seen anybody else do it like that before. Yes, that's the point. You know, we're here, we're going to be celebrating our third birthday this month as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. And the third year God spoke to us 3 years ago prophetically was a year of the planting of vineyards for new wine, new grapes, unforetold varieties. No Merlot here, no Chardonnay, no Pinot Grigio. We've got our very own unique brands in the room. And not just one, but that group over there and that person there and that one over there. Dee has got an awesome vintage coming up that we haven't seen yet. She doesn't even know about it yet because God hasn't spoken, but there's that opportunity to plant excellent vineyards.
Yeah.
Yeah? Red wine, obviously, because it's so much nicer than white. Although I did mention a white wine, so there you go. I've never mentioned wine varieties in a talk before. Maybe the J24/7 lot yesterday were teasing me because I didn't use props at the wedding. I was infamous for using a tissue box as props and weird things that... Maybe I should have had a couple of bottles of wine as my props. Be different, creative. Verse 2, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God with knowledge, skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for working gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. This sounds good, doesn't it?
Amen.
And don't just spiritualize it. It's spiritual and practical. You know, the things that God calls us to do, it's a spiritual ministry, but sometimes they begin in very practical things. If we didn't have practical musicians, we wouldn't have much of a worship time. They have to practice. They have to train their fingers. They have to train their voices, or it doesn't sound good. No matter how anointed they are, it's going to be pretty rubbish if they've never bothered to take what the Lord has given them and on it and shine it and practice it. It doesn't just apply to musicians. Whatever it is we've got, we have to practice. If it's accounting, you've got to get your accountancy exams, you've got to train, you've got to be fully equipped. If it's running business, you need to get trained in business. You need to get the right qualifications, you need to read the right books, you need to read the right newspapers. You've got to be trained and equipped in the gifting that you have. Amen? If you're at university, it's getting the best possible grades you can by throwing yourself into that 3 years of experience that God has given you, because he's going to use everything that you go through. Even if you're studying to be a teacher. Hallelujah. Anyway, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Asismach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I have commanded you. And as it was in the past, so it is now. God is gathering craftsmen and priests. All right, we're all priests. We're all in the kingdom of priests. But there are some here that are gifted to preach. You may be wondering about that this morning, but there are. There are some here that are gifted to teach. There are some that have got the gift of prophecy. But there are some that have got the gift of driving well. There are some that have got the gift of entertaining. There are some that have got the gift of painting. There are some that have got the gift of dance. Yeah, there's all kinds of gifts. There are some that have got the gift of entrepreneurship. You know, and we need to celebrate all these crafts that God has given us, because it's going to be awesome. Amen. That's why God has placed us in the town that won the most enterprising town in Europe. Because we're going to be enterprising, creative, innovative. We're part of what's happening in Scarborough and in our region. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just going to be part of it. We want to be in at the beginning of it, stirring it up, making it happen, bringing a right foundation into things that's happening. And that's why God's given us these opportunities to work with the local council and determine policy locally and be part of that. It's because he's called us to be craftsmen. You know, there's politicians in the room. There's councillors in the room. There's charity workers in the room. There's people that can run a shop here in this room. And it's hearing God and saying, yeah, that's what I'm going to go for. And it's all these things mixed together. As we go for the new building, God bless Comet and their delays. As we go for the new building, you know, we're going to need craftsmen that can come. It's no good having a building. We need the children's workers, the coffee makers. We need that. And we need good coffee makers. We want the best coffee in Scarborough. You know, there's already people in their 20s and early 30s are saying, if you've got a coffee shop that's got good coffee open in the evening, these aren't people that go to church. We're coming. Because that's what we want. We don't want to always have to go to Blue Lounge or Barracuda where there's all the alcohol. We want a coffee shop that's got a good environment where we can have our crafted musicians playing jazz and good music in the background and, you know, just get God in them. You know, let's get the world in to the church so they can experience Jesus. And we'll also go out into the world so that they can see Jesus on the streets. Yeah. It's not one or the other. It's both. Yeah. You know, it's not just, oh, we've got to be going out. We can't expect them to come in. Yes, we're going to expect them to come in. Of course they're going to come in. They want to come in because it's good. Yeah. There was a load of people came into the wedding yesterday. I don't know if you knew. There were tourists in Scarborough who heard the music during the worship and they came in. Because it sounded good. You know, that's good. I like it here when we have this door open. We got panpipes coming in now. But before that, we had our worship going out there. Yeah, it's cool. Hallelujah. But too often, creativity gets squashed because it doesn't seem to be spiritual. Or maybe it's because people are afraid of their desires and their dreams because they seem a bit big. But God says, I'll give you more than you can dream of. So if they're a bit big, that's still too small. Who knows what God can do? Yeah? And we bottle up the creativity. And yet it comes from Christ himself. He is the creator. He's always doing something new. And I want to be, I don't know about you, this is a personal desire. Wouldn't it be awesome to be like the, I was going to say one of, but why not go for the? Yeah, the most creative church in this nation. You know? Where people are saying, wow, I never thought of doing that. That's great, you know? God loves to take people in obscure places in the northeast of England and give them things that can influence the world. Because they'll say, well, how could that come out of that small town? You know? We've got an advantage over London and Manchester and Birmingham and Leeds and all those places because people expect great things to come from big cities. They don't expect them to come from Scarborough. They just expect sand and donkeys. Religion is based on the belief that you're fundamentally a sinner. You're thinking, oh my goodness, where's he going now? And therefore, you must be controlled by rules, usually fear and intimidation. Don't just look at Christianity gone wrong. Look at any of the world's religions. They tend to govern by fear and intimidation, some more than others, which are completely the opposite of love. Why was Jesus so hard on the Pharisees? Because what they were proclaiming in their rules and regulations was the opposite of what he'd come to show. And yet they were the very people that were there to bring what they were supposed to be bringing, what God had to the people. And they turned it into rules and regulations. You know, one of the great things, one of the great blessings we've got in this town is the concept there's only one church.
Yeah.
And nearly all the ministers in this town will talk about there's only one church in Scarborough, but many congregations. But we've all got different ways of doing things, even different rules, if you like. And if we chose to stick by those rules, we'd all end up in our small, exclusive groups. But we've begun to learn that love overcomes these things. You know? And we might fundamentally disagree with something that they do, but we can still see the heart of Christ in them. And you kind of think, well, if the Holy Spirit's working over there, who am I to say I mustn't? You know? I don't like some of the stuff that some churches do. You know, say the Catholic Church and going overboard in the veneration of Mary. I don't think that's gospel. But God still seems to be working with them. So who am I to cut myself off? And who am I really to start waving my finger at another group of people anyway? I'm just a Pharisee when I do that. You know, I just need to live according to the revelation God's given me. And I need to, and the primary revelation is one of love and to reach out. Amen. Otherwise nobody's going to be interested in what we've got anyway. They don't want to know about our rules. They don't want the kingdom faith Ten Commandments. They just need Jesus. You see, religion values what's on the outside, and God values what's in the heart. And it's completely different. Religion steals the freedom, the very freedom that Christ died to give us. It's got no sense of humour. Why do I tell so many bad jokes all the time? Because it makes you laugh. Even when they're bad, you laugh. Because God's got a sense of humour. Look at giraffes. Look at the whole theory of evolution. Of course God's got a sense of humour. He's up in heaven laughing over it all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The wisdom of man, which is wise, but is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. Cool. Jesus died to give us free will. Adam and Eve took that free will and went away from God. And that's why in the church we so often don't allow free will, because we're scared that people will make their own choices and end up not going with God. But God gives us that choice. Who are we to try and stop people? If someone doesn't want to follow God, God says that's fine. That's what they want to do. If someone wants to choose a lifestyle that's not according to the lifestyle God has ordained for us all, who are we? They've chosen it. They're free. It's their free will. We're not there to judge. We're there to show them the love of God that might bring them to repentance and back to his way.
Amen.
Amen. And so often the church is just there to judge, 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 judge. And yet Jesus spoke against judgment all the time. How can you pick on that speck in your brother's eye when you've got a great plank dangling out of your own? Yeah? See, he used bad jokes as well. Because free will is the only way you can come into a loving, sincere, and intimate, and pure, and holy relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Of course there's got to be repentance. Of course there's got to be a turning around. But sometimes we forget that it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction. Amen? I'm not talking about compromising the church. I'm not talking about accepting whatever's going. But I am saying Let's make sure we're not judging. Let's not make sure we're not bringing a finger to Scarborough, but we're bringing love and service.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If Jesus came to serve, who are we to come to judge?
Right.
Amen? Hallelujah. These are good times.
Yes.
He's always doing something new. He's always being created. I've got on my iPhone, no, it's, yep, it is here. Not that you'll be able to see it because you're all too far away, but when I turn on my phone, you'll get a long distance picture. Oh, no, you won't, because Martin sent me a text. We'll just switch it off again and switch it on again. There you go. And you see that? That is the Abel Galaxy. I have a galaxy named after me. I kind of think maybe it wasn't just me, but our God is so creative. It's called the Abel 1758 Galaxy. You know, our God is so creative, there's whole galaxies out there that we don't even know about. And if you could see that picture of my iPhone, it's beautiful. And we've only been able to see it in this generation. What a waste. No, it's about creativity. It's about expression. It's about seeing what God is. God is not utilitarian. God is extravagant.
Yeah.
There's a really extravagant verse I want you to have a look at. Go to Philippians 4, verse 19. We know this one. I bet a lot of you have even memorized it. And it says, this is the NIV, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." A slightly better translation, actually, is, I don't know what the truth is. I should have looked it up in there, shouldn't I? "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory." All right? His riches, everything that he has in glory, he's going to meet your needs from that glory. And I came across this interesting quote from a rabbi. Not someone that believed in the Lord. And he was asked to look at the scripture and say, you know, in the way that you would interpret scripture, although obviously he didn't believe it was, in the way that you would interpret scripture, what would you say God is trying to say to his people in this bit? And this is what the rabbi said. That God, out of his realm of glory. Now, I like that. We sometimes forget that he comes out of extravagance anyway. God, out of his realm of glory and dominion, will release to his people ideas, concepts, creative things, and witty inventions that will cause tremendous provision to come to them. I like that, Rabbi. You know? Why? Mr. Biro may be sitting in this room. Maybe the next Bill Gates stroke Steve Jobs is sitting in this room. Someone that gets a spark of creativity from the Lord that is turned into an awesome business idea that then becomes resources for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But you see, the kingdom of God doesn't always think like this. The kingdom of God is afraid of all that kind of stuff. And there it is. My God will meet all your needs. Not just your spiritual ones, but all of them. You know, and we have a need to build. We've got the craftsman gathering. We have a need to physically build. And physically building takes money. But, you know, there's only so much money in the church. Yes, we've got to give faithfully. We've got to give generously. But we also need to be bringing in the resources that are out there in the world.
Hallelujah.
You know, Bill Gates is fairly rich. He's also pretty generous in what he gives away. But how much more wonderful when men of God and women of God are using that money as God is leading them to use it. For his glory. We don't need to be scared of money. You know, sometimes Christians are, oh, he's preaching about money again. Well, my God's rich.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My God is wealthy. He owns the whole planet. So there is a sense when we say about bringing in the resources of the world into the church, it's in a way, it's a nonsense. It's God's anyway. You know? It's great. I'm going to read you that bit from the rabbi again. Is that all right? God, out of his realm of glory and dominion, will release to his people ideas, concepts, creative things, and witty inventions. I like that bit. And witty inventions that will cause tremendous provision to come to them. Isn't that good? It's not, because sometimes we think God will provide and we're almost expecting, you know, the envelope in the post. But he often provides by giving us a good job. And because we work hard at that job and we do our best at that job and we obey scripture by being a work of excellence in that job, we get promoted to a better one. And then we get promoted to a better one. And we get promoted to a better one. We're not a kind of spiritual heavenly welfare state. It's not, the kingdom is not just a series of handouts. All right? The kingdom is our provision by giving us what we need to do to earn and to see it come in. Of course, God provides miraculously as well. I'm not decrying that, but that is not the only way. He's not a heavenly handout God. You don't go and register every 2 weeks or however often it is these days, and he sends in a few questions. Well, are you seeking work? What kind of jobs have you been applying for? Did you try coffee maker at church? You know, did you help out with the children? Come on, I need to know before I give you. You get the picture. Hallelujah. Jesus is the creator. And he wants us to take these creative ideas that he's placing. How many of you, this is one that I found interesting recently. How many of you, when you pray, start to daydream? Or your thoughts start to wander? And how many of you have said, get behind me, Satan. Oh, that's the devil trying to distract me. But how about thinking that maybe sometimes we just get the devil a little bit too big? And how about if it's God trying us to get to think in a different way? Now, obviously, there are some daydreams that probably aren't that great. But a lot of the time, it's actually God speaking. This has been a challenge to me. And suddenly you find you start to get great ideas. Because you've allowed them to come. You've not shut them down. I need to be praying. Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are awesome. And Jesus is sitting in heaven. Yes, I'm wonderful. I'm awesome. And I want to give you some awesome and wonderful ideas. But you keep shutting them down. To tell me how awesome and wonderful I am. Maybe he's even standing there saying, I don't feel very awesome and wonderful at the moment because I can't get through to you. That probably was heretical, the last bit. And he also wouldn't get irritated with us, amazingly. Hallelujah. He doesn't even get irritated with my jokes. He likes them. He told me. The only problem is he always knows what the punchline is, so it probably spoils it a bit for him. No, maybe our mind wandering is just God leading us to be creative. How about that? Maybe we should just dare to dream. Even dare to daydream. Prayer isn't just about reciting scripture or asking God for stuff. Another aspect of prayer is meditation, which is thinking on the Lord. But then as you think upon the Lord, if you feel your mind beginning to wander, sometimes just let it. If any other reason, it's just so that you relax a little bit more. You know, I find that prayer gets really difficult because you can get so het up about, am I hearing from God? Am I doing enough? Have I read enough of the Bible? Am I hearing God? And just relax. Right. Just chill out. You know, stick some nice music on, and you say, well, I'll fall asleep. Well, fall asleep then. And let God speak to you in a dream. Now, I wouldn't say this everywhere, but I know you lot are a people that seek after the Lord, and sometimes we just need to chill out and let God speak to us, rather than get so kingdom faithized. Oh, I've got to get away from the Lord, got to get away from the Lord, got to get away from the Lord. Ooh. Yeah? And sometimes you're sitting there and you'll just pick up a book, you know? I tell you what, God speaks to me through jokes. He does. Quite often, a bad joke is the beginning of a whole train of thought and series of talks even that I'll give on a Sunday morning that comes from a joke, not from the Bible. Some people listening on the internet have just decided they're never coming to this place again. Now, obviously, I need to know that where God is taking me is what's in his word. But sometimes he takes something that's different to get me to think. And believe it or not, this morning came from Hebrews. and wake up and smell the coffee. That's where it began. I was thinking about bad jokes and wedding one-liners, and God began to talk to me about dreaming and daydreaming and being creative and enjoying creativity rather than shutting it down and becoming legalistic and religious.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
We're free.
Yeah.
We're free to daydream.
Yeah.
We're free to sleep.
Yeah.
We're free to pray and seek the Lord. We're free to fast.
Yeah.
The whole package. You know, at this rate, people might think that Christianity is for something worth believing in.
Yeah.
It might actually be something that makes our lives better. Hallelujah. One of the things that my friend Brian at Roasters said the other day, no, it wasn't Brian, it was somebody else, but one, I know who it was, yep, it was Bob. And he just said to me, he just said, one of the things that really strikes me about church is that everybody seems so happy. And it really impacted him. Not rules, not regulations, not the worship particularly, although that did too, but the fact that everybody seemed happy. Sometimes we make it so difficult. He's not saved yet, I don't think, unless it happened this morning. But he just saw something. And people just need to see something. But if we're so worked up, they don't get a chance to see it. Yeah, we need to be serious in the sense of everything about our faith. We're serious about it, but we need to lighten up about how we live that out.
Yes.
You know, and not worry about the world getting on us, because we're actually there to be the light in the world.
Yes.
The darkness can't shut a candle out.
Yes.
All right, let alone the bright light that God's placed in you.
Amen.
I'm just about finished here. But dare to dream. Dare to dream. Come on, let those creative ideas just flow. We are not, this is a bit dodgy, this bit. It's just something that I felt God was saying this morning. We're not going to transform the nation, let alone Scarborough. We're not going to transform Scarborough by a series of endless revival meetings. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
How can I say that? Well, look at Pensacola. Hasn't changed America. Look at all the revivals that happen, and it's not the meetings that change the nation. Yes, it changes God's people. Yes, it gets God's people on fire. But then what happens is that they get into the creative flow of what God is doing, and they take what God is doing out. And if they don't take it out, it just goes vroom.
Yeah.
Amen? Which is why God is saying this to us now, because we've got revival.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need a move of God.
No, right.
Yeah, we don't need a move of God. God's already moving.
Yeah.
He's not the one hanging around for the 97 bus.
Yeah, right.
You know? He's ready.
Yeah.
What we need is a move of God's people.
Yes. Yes.
People who are responding to a God who's already moving and say, well, we've got revival, we've got life. How much more life can you get than the resurrected Christ? We've got it. We've got everything we need. And as we do stuff in that, God does things, but God's moved and is moving and will move more. He's moved to Scarborough because he got the vision. But sorry, Joe. Hallelujah. No, we're going to see a change in Scarborough. We're going to see a change in our region. We're going to see a change in this nation by allowing the creative power of Christ to flow through us and take what he's given us into all kinds of different situations. Amen. We have enough meetings as it is. Yeah, I'm not saying that there won't be series of meetings at different times. There will be. Everything as its seasons and its times. Yeah. But that's not what we're aiming for. We're not aiming to have such a powerful experience of the Lord that we're having to meet every night. Now, if we have a powerful experience of the Lord that leads us to meet every night, we'll do it. But that's not the goal. The goal is to see Scarborough, the nation, changed. It's to see it on fire for Jesus. It's to see us having an influence in society that's making this society better. That's allowing us to affect local government and national government and make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes those daydreams are actually prophetic words and visions. I was going to say prophetic words and visions, but... hey, come on, I was up till 1:30. Hallelujah. And it's those daydreams that will actually enable us to pull down the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We have to respond when there's a word from God. I don't think actually this is a word from God this morning.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Dan and Jem had to be here. I don't know. He wanted you to hear it because you dream big. And he's saying, don't stop, Jem.
Hallelujah.
You know, Dan, you're good at daydreaming. Well, for once I'm saying, don't stop. Get the ideas in the daydream and get them written down afterwards because God's speaking. I'm not saying that every daydream is God, but I think a lot of them just might be. And you know, with these vineyards coming, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know what I'm going to plant. I don't know what kind of vineyard I've got. But God's got a vineyard in you.
Hallelujah.
God's got a vintage Chablis in you.
Yes.
Amen. There's got to be a response. We could call everybody forward. We could lay on hands. I don't think that will particularly accomplish anything this morning. All I can think of as a response to God is just to say, Lord, I'm open to daydreaming. I'm open to you using me in a creative way. And that's about it, really, isn't it? We could spiritualize it, but what's the point? It's just a, yeah, that sounds good, God. I'm going to go for that.
That's right.
Amen? So if you want to say that to the Lord, you can do that. Off you go. Something like it. Yeah, we could have a holy moment, but you can just say it to God instead. Father, we're just so excited about what you're doing amongst us.
Yes.
Nothing to do with us, everything to do with you. We know that it's not about us doing stuff, but it's about us being led by you to do stuff. Hallelujah. And Jesus, we want to glorify your name in Scarborough, in Brid, in York, in Whitby, in Leeds, down to Sheffield, across to Bradford. We want to see, God, your name glorified in Yorkshire. And we want to see your name glorified in our nation. And Lord, though we sometimes think, how can you use us? Well, you used a young girl to bring the Messiah into the world in an obscure little place in the middle of nowhere. And he turned the whole world upside down by what he did in just a period of 3 years. And Lord, we pray that turn upside down anointing, that change the world anointing would be released in us, because we know that turner of the world upside down lives in us. And that he just wants to let the dreams and the visions that he's got for us to be released. Father, I thank you, we don't have to come up with stuff. We don't have to try to come up with stuff. We just need now to be open to you. We're just going to be open to you speaking and you doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to come to a close. If you've come this morning as a visitor and you're seeking God for healing, or you want to come to know Jesus, you sort of thought, actually, I want to be on this dreaming thing. Look, don't go away without having that opportunity. Just come down the front here at the end. Talk to Shona here, who talked about what God's doing in her life, how she's dared to dream, and God brought her here. And you're so different, Shona. It's just lovely seeing what God's done in you. You know, or talk to Brian, her husband, who's sitting next to Shona. Hey, you can talk to my mum. You know, she'll tell you what Jesus is about. And if it's anything like that, come to get to know him. Or if you've got a healing need, you can come down here and we'll just stand with you and see God's healing release through you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You guys visiting today, maybe because you're at the wedding or maybe because you're on holiday, thanks for being with us. It's really great to have you here.
Hallelujah.
And I hope we get a chance to talk. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.